We've been talking about the fact that God has called us to conquer mountains and challenges in our lives. And so I've been using this theme, Base Camp, and this morning will be our last message. Yes? Will be the last message in this series. Before we go to the text this morning, I want us to also take a couple of minutes to remember those who have given their lives. I'm wearing the tie this morning because tomorrow is Memorial Day. We dare not forget those who have given their lives so that we can remain free. I was talking with Pedro. Pedro plays guitar up here, and if you've never had a chance to meet Pedro and talk to him, you really need to. Pedro and April are just a tremendous couple and family here at Abundant Life. Pedro is from Venezuela, and if you are aware of news or anything like that, you know that Venezuela has a nation that is in free fall. Elections are controlled. There is no free press. It's just awful. And we are free today because people value freedom, and there are men and women who have given their lives that we might be free. I want us to take just a moment. Let's just be a moment in silence to thank God for them and to honor their memory this morning. Lord, we pray for those families this morning that this day is very real for them. They have sons, they have daughters, they have brothers, they have sisters, they have aunts, they have uncles. They have family members, Lord, and even friends. That war has taken the lives of these precious to them. We pray today that they would sense the honor of a grateful nation. We pray today, O God, that you would bring comfort and strength to their hearts. Thank you for, Lord, helping them and ministering to them, and we thank you for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, go with me to text this morning as we finish up this last message in the series, and I've called this message, I've entitled it, Conquering New Mountains and Facing New Challenges. After the death of Moses, Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9, Joshua 1, 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, was that new to Joshua? No, he knew that. We'll pick up on that in a moment. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan to the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Hebron and from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Dave Harvey writes about the greatest rescue mission of World War II. something I wasn't aware of until I came across this story. Late in the war, American bombers were sent on a dangerous mission over southern Europe to cripple the Nazis' oil supplies. Hundreds of crews soared through the storms that were filled with anti-aircraft shells. Many American pilots were forced to bail out from their shot-up planes. An injured airman drifted by parachutes into Yugoslavia. They were expecting to be killed or to be captured. Instead, on the ground, Serbian peasant rescue teams were already in place. Their sole mission was to grab the pilots and the crew and bring them to safety before the Nazis arrived. Amazingly, those Serbian peasants rescued every single American airman, over 500 in all. They were risking their own lives. Peasants fed and sheltered the downed soldiers. While in friendly hands, they were on enemy soil and they still needed to escape. The story became known as Operation Halyard, and it ended with a daring mission, a secret airstrip, and a clandestine evacuation plan. This is the stuff of movies, friends. They had to travel to the clandestine evacuation site. The airmen had to spend weeks following their Serbian freedom fighters who alone knew the path to the secret airstrip. Everything, the direction, the pace, the destination were in the hands of their rescuers. The men had been saved from their enemy, but the journey to freedom had just begun. And then he writes, the story of Operation Halyard sheds light on an important spiritual reality. To be rescued from something sets us on a path towards something. Let me stop here before I finish this illustration. You see, we have been saved by grace and we are sustained by grace. And the challenges in the mountains, the spiritual mountains that we face, it is God's grace that will help us to challenge and conquer them and to learn from them. But we have been saved and set on a path towards something, not just heaven, hello, but towards something that God wants to accomplish in our lives and in the lives of the people around us that our lives will affect. That's what this series has been all about. That we change the perspective of the way we look at the challenges and the aggravations and the difficulties and the hardships that we face in life and see them as there's something that God wants to do in us so that he can do something through us, so that he can do something beyond us. You see, they were rescued and it set them on a path towards something. For the airmen, it was a journey to survival. For us, it is a journey of faith and spiritual development. The one who saved us is now calling us in this walk that we're on, and it's non-negotiable. Though we've been saved from spiritual death, we discover the Christian life isn't about arrival. It is about the adventure. It is about the journey that we are on, and Christ rescues us. And he points us to this path to follow him through every circumstance of life that we face. So as we look at this text, I want us to first of all see to conquer new mountains and face new challenges, we need to follow the example of Israel, first of all. And the first thing that I see in this text is we would be told by them, don't be paralyzed. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then. As I pointed out to you, to Joshua, this wasn't something new. This is like 30 days after Moses' death. They've mourned the death of Moses, and now God speaks to Joshua, and he is in essence saying to him, Moses is dead, but now then, here's what I want you to do. Don't be paralyzed by the past. Think about this. These five words signaled a seismic shift, a radical shift for the nation of Israel. Because Moses, for 40 years, has led this nation. For 40 years, they've heard the voice of God through this man. For 40 years, they've seen the miraculous power of God through this man. And now, Moses, my servant, is dead. I can imagine through the camp, there were at times these words. Will we survive? Will we really get to the promised land without him? What will this loss mean? Will we hear from God again? So many times when you and I face a mountain or a challenge, we think, you know, is this the end? How am I going to get through this? And God's word to us, even though there's this seismic event, God's word to us was, okay, you may be facing this and this may have been happening, but now then, here's what I want you to do. You see, losses, failures, mountains, challenges, as we've heard throughout this whole series, are a part of life. And we can be paralyzed by them or propelled by them. Let me say that again. Mountains and challenges and hardships and difficulties are a part of life, and we can either be paralyzed by them or propelled by them. I want to tell you that God wants us to be a people of faith that is propelled and not paralyzed by the issues of life that we face and see. So how can we be propelled and not paralyzed? By answering the now then. You see, the now then minimizes the past and focuses on the future. It embraces, yes, this is here, but now then, this is what God wants to do and what I'm going to partner with God with. Take a look at this video with me, please. Very familiar clip out of Raiders of the Lost Ark, The Leap of Faith. That's what God called Joshua and the Israelites to. It was as if they didn't know what was beyond and how that they were going to get there, but God said to them, take this leap of faith now then. I'm talking to some folks in this room that you're wondering what. I'm telling you, embrace by faith that God has got this and that he is with you. It requires us to trust God. And they had to trust that God was going to take them into this land, but he also required them to do their part. We're saved by grace. It's not of ourselves. We are sustained by grace, God's favor. But God still requires of us to put one foot in front of the other in this journey of faith as we face these mountains and difficulties in our lives. Now, listen, the Apostle Paul says it often involves a fight. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. You know, if you're saved, I want you to hear and understand that as we follow the Lord, at times following the Lord Jesus Christ and facing mountains and trials and difficulties will be a fight. Over and over again, we see the armor of God. We see the people of God. We see this. I have fought the good fight. It's all so significant for believers today because it serves as a stark reminder that the Christian life, we are in a battle against evil. We are in a battle against the enemy who wants us to doubt, who wants us to cower in fear and be paralyzed. But Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have, what did he say? Say it, overcome the world. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can overcome. That's God's word to us. Secondly, I want us to see that in this passage that to conquer mountains and face new challenges, follow the example of Israel, and recognize that some challenges require community. God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you, who's the you in this passage? Joshua. And all these people. Get ready to cross the Jordan into a land I'm about to give to them. You see, there are some challenges and mountains that we face that we dare not try to take on by our own. And this is very clear in this. If they were going to take over this country and this land, it would take all of them as a people working together. And we need to, in this Western culture where we tend to be so independent, understand the power of partnerships. You and all these people, it's clearly about community. God has called them to something far beyond what one person could accomplish by themselves. Notice the text says, you, Joshua, and all these people. You can mark this truth down as a principle. Discipleship is a journey, and that journey always has a route that meanders through community. Part of the reason why the church in the United States of America, and maybe a part of the church in the world, has not finished the task that God has called us to is we have neglected community in the body of Christ. We think that, and you hear it, probably not you, but you hear it, well, I don't need to go to church to love the Lord, and I don't need to follow and be at any church to serve God and to be a Christian. Well, you know, that may be true, but you're not going to be the Christian God wants you to be, because you've got to have community. And discipleship, real discipleship, Christian discipleship, is a lifetime journey, and that journey always has a route that meanders through community. There are some loads. I need community because there are some things that God has called me to and tasks that God has called me to that I can't do them without you. And there are some things that you're going to face that you're not going to be able to get through without the body of Christ. Thank God for the community here at Abundant Life. Can I hear a good amen? We are in an age and a culture that is easily consumed and self-absorbed, and it's refreshing to hear when people unite together, because that is the model that God has given us. You know, speaking of some loads that are too hard to bear, I'm just so glad that here at Abundant Life we can partner to try and help these orphans in Cuba. Talk about community. Orphans. Let's remember, pure religion and undefiled is to care for what? Widows and orphans. And so an orphan, you know, losing mother and father, you've got to have community. You've got to have someone that comes and becomes the surrogate family for them. Conquering mountains, it is not only appropriate, but at times it is necessary that we have the help of community recognized in conquering a mountain and a challenge. So I want to tell you that there's this purpose in partnership. It was the land that he was going to give them. And God has designed his church, the body of Christ, for several reasons. First of all, there is no one person who can do it all. I don't care how gifted you are. I don't care, how much little sleep you need, Pastor Josh Wise, Pastor Jamie Wise. None of us can accomplish it by ourselves. God has designed the church, the body of Christ, for community because we need each other. The hand is not the foot. The foot is not the hand. But not only has God designed the body of Christ for that reason, he has also designed it that way to deal with my selfishness and pride. Can I tell you, if you're here today and you're struggling with something and you won't ask anybody, maybe one of the things that God's trying to do with in your life spiritually is to deal with pride. That That may be the thing he's wanting to do in you so that he can move on to through you. And when I recognize that I need help, that I can't handle this on my own, it enters this dimension of community that it takes to conquer some mountains and hardships. And then I think another, and there's a myriad that we could keep mentioning, but I think that the other is to develop this bond of caring and love that he wants us to have. Because the Bible talks about that we love one another, that we care for one another, that we serve one another. And Jesus said this. He said that Texas, that United States, that the world at large would know that we are his followers by our, come on, say it like you mean it this morning, by our love for one another. And love is demonstrated. It's not just spoken. God says there are some mountains that we face if we're going to conquer them. Don't be paralyzed by the past. Recognize that there are some mountains that I've designed that you must rely on community. And finally this morning, we need to see from this text that to conquer mountains and face new challenges, God instructs Joshua, carefully follow the leader. Now, in this case, he was pointing back to Moses. He said, be careful, verse 7, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, and don't turn from the right or the left. First, want us to see that we should not deviate. Observe and don't deviate from God's instructions. You know, I've come to love one of the Proverbs. It may be even found in the Psalms. It says, the boundaries have fallen in pleasant places for me. You know, I'm sure to get to the top of Mount Everest, there is a right path to take and a wrong path to take to get up to Mount Everest, to the top, if you're going to make it and get back down. And it's probably true with many different mountains in that. And you know, if you're going to be a cliff face climber or a rock climber, there are rules and directions. I was looking this past week on instructions for belaying. You know what belaying is? Anybody know what belaying is? It's helping someone come back down. Remember last week I was telling you my dad had me step out into the air on that rope and be lowered 150 feet. Well, you know, he had some ways that the leverage and all of that would be an easy, not a quick ride down. And in belaying, you know, they'll have that carabiner attached to you, and they'll have those pulleys and that. But it was rather interesting in watching this one guy instructing how to help someone that's dropping. He said, as you see they're getting close to the bottom, what you should do is just kind of leap up at the same time. And in doing that, you kind of slow their fall and cushion them as they come down. There's rules to follow to be successful in this. Can I tell you, the Word of God is got the rules and the direction for every mountain and every principality that we face, that if we will have success in accomplishing those things, we need to observe and don't deviate from the Word of God. He also says, observe the leader. Now, what a teacher and a leader Moses was. Already seen that Moses was this incredible leader, that he actually heard God speak to him, and he saw God's glory to this dimension that we know that they had to cover his face because of the radiance of God. The Bible says there wasn't another earthly man like him. But I want to point out to you, the Bible talks about an earthly man like him. For when we come to the book of Hebrews, we read these words, that there's one greater than Moses. Hebrews 3, 3 through 6 says, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all of God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is the faithful as a son over God's house. We are his house if we hold on to courage and hope of which we boast. The leader that you and I should observe and follow today is none other than Jesus Christ himself. The exodus of the Hebrew people in their wanderings in the wilderness and the conquering of the promised land reminds us once again, as I pointed out, that it is not a destination, it is a journey. God has got us on this incredible faith journey. Faith isn't a one-time experience. It is a process of development in me. It's not a sprint. It's a lifelong journey. And it's often a winding and challenging road filled with many, many difficulties. We sang it, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Can I say it's not an easy route? It's a challenging route, but it's always worth it. On this Memorial Day, when we're remembering those who gave their lives for this country, I want to share with you a letter from Karen Watson, who served in Iraq and wrote a letter to her pastor in case of her death. When news of her death arrived, the pastor opened the letter, which read, "When God calls, there are no regrets. I tried to share my heart with you as much as possible, my heart for the nations. I wasn't called to a place.